And for our next guest, it's always a homecoming as well. James Hinchcliffe, IndyCar driver with Arrowsmith Peterson Motorsports, joining Richard Deitch and myself in primetime. James, thank you so much for joining us today. We had a chance to talk to Robert Wickens, your teammate, a little earlier in the week, and it's obviously going to be great to see him in the parade car. It's going to be something a lot of people are looking forward to. Before I talk to you about the track and this race, just some thoughts from you on what it will mean to you personally to see Robert get back inside a car and drive that parade lap.
Oh, I mean, it's just happiness. You know, I think everybody in the series and on the circuit is super excited for Rob, and we're really excited to see him get back behind the wheel of a proper car at a racetrack. And you know, it's being touted as a parade lap, but I promise you, it's going to be the fastest, most aggressive parade lap in the history of IndyCar.
He's not going to gently nudge the vehicle around the course, is he?
I don't think so, no. And I'm pretty sure IndyCar is planning on giving him a speed. That's usually how it works, is they give you a speed with which you have to sort of maintain and stay under. And I really don't see him doing it. I see him quite literally breaking the rule and going against the establishment here, because he's going to be having too much fun. The hard part's going to be getting him to actually pull in and let the race start without him a part of it. I think that's going to be the challenge.
All right, Hinch, first of all, you can thank me at the end of the segment for not asking any Kawhi Leonard questions. We'll just get that out of the way. I saw that in doing a little bit of research, you had some podiums and some top fives recently, but in your own words, we need to make that jump to the top step. So I realize that's easier said than done, but how close do you think you are, or the team is, I should be more specific, from taking a race?
Honestly, I think we're very close, and that's not just saying it for the sake of PR. I mean, when you look at, you know, our history here the last few years, we've got a very good car. We've been on the podium two of the last 3 years, three top fives. If you look at the last three courses we've had this season, was Detroit, and you know, Sunday in Detroit, we basically got taken out of the lead of the race. So again, very competitive ride, and you know, the team's executing well. We've just had some bad luck this year. So, you know, we've, like I said, been strong on the street circuits. We've been strong here at Toronto the last few years. There's nothing to say that this can't be the weekend we get the first win of 2019. But it's just so competitive in the IndyCar series. You just don't know what's going to happen week in and week out. Street courses always are a little bit unpredictable, and the yellow flag rules and the closed pit rules can throw things for a loop. So we're going to do what we've been doing all year as a team, try to execute on Sundays, have a strong car, qualify up front. And I think if we do that, we're going to be in the fight and in the conversation for the win.
And you know, you're a sports fan, so you know that there's always a lot of conversation about momentum in sports and how much that means, particularly, you know, in individual sports. Your sport obviously is a little bit different, but I am curious, from your perspective, how much does momentum play into racing specifically, because there are so many variables on your circuit, you know, different tracks, different cities, different locations. Is there such a thing as momentum, or does every race really feel like its own new entity?
No, there really is momentum. I think any sport, you can get that. Everybody gets into a good stride. Everybody has the right confidence, the right amount of confidence. I think that's important as well. And, you know, I think you see a lot of the time, you know, in the IndyCar series, you get to sort of this part of the season and one or two guys have established themselves as, or sometimes three have established themselves as the championship contenders. And it's consistently those three that are up at the top week in and week out in the second half of the season. And that's not coincidence. That's because they put themselves in a position to be up there. They're riding that momentum. They've got that confidence. And, you know, sometimes it just takes one good result to really flip a team switch and get everybody on the right page, especially if they've been dealing with some frustrations earlier in the year. So for sure, I mean, there's a lot of elements that are out of your control, but momentum still plays a big part in racing. Mm.
James, what are you expecting from the track this race? I know that's something we always talk about, because it is a road course. What are you expecting from the track this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, anytime we come to a temporary circuit, you know, there's always going to be slight little adjustments. There's been a couple little modifications here and there. You know, the track walk, we just completed that earlier today. So we, you know, get to see each and every corner up close at a very slow speed rather than, you know, at several hundred kilometers an hour. And you take notes on what's changed and what's different. Based on the changes that we've seen for this year, I think it's going to be a little bit more challenging than it was last year. They've moved some walls and some corners that are going to make racing a little bit more difficult. They've added a patch in turn five that's going to be pretty low grip, certainly at the start of the weekend, which will make turn five a little bit more difficult. So it's one of the more challenging tracks on the circuit anyway. I think they've made it a little more challenging. And so if you have a 25, 6, 7, 8 degree day, which is, you know, very possible on Sunday, track temps are going to be up, which means track grip is down. So I think we're in for a challenging weekend as drivers, but that usually means it's going to be a good show for the fans, and that's really what matters.
I was just going to say, is a road track harder on tires?
It depends. Not necessarily. Normally because you're sliding around so much, if it's not a very abrasive surface, it's not too bad on tires.
Okay.
But, you know, Firestone tries to bring compounds that are sort of tailor-made to each event, and, you know, we have a primary and an alternate tire here this weekend, as we always do, and the alternate, the red tire, is the same we ran in Detroit, and the tires in Detroit lasted about five laps before they started falling off a cliff lap time-wise, so we could see a very interesting strategy breakout. We could see two stops versus three stops based on tires rather than fuel. So I think it's actually sort of setting itself up to be a pretty exciting race on Sunday.
All right, first of all, in terms of self-promotion here, if you are on Twitter, head to James Hinchcliffe's Twitter feed, which is Hinchtown.
Oh, you're looking at the...
Yeah, go to the what he tweeted on July 9th, and he is tweeting basically a POV, a bird's-eye view of driving from the Prince's Gate on Lakeshore Boulevard. It is ridiculous if you are watching this video. You really feel, James, like, I feel like, seriously, I'm in the car with you. I'm actually about to throw up because you're driving far too fast for me. But that is very, very cool publicity. I assume you know what I'm talking about, correct?
Yeah, of course. No, the visor cam, we love that because it really does give, you know, the viewer a little bit more of a sense of just how violent it can be inside the car. And, you know, all these surface changes, all these bumps on city streets that get driven on and abused every day that go through Canadian winters. You know, let's call a spade, the roads don't always deal with that too well. But when you're doing it in a car with a ride height of, you know, a couple centimeters, and you're doing it at the speeds that we're doing it, there's no power steering. It's a very, very physical ask just to get around here for one lap, and, you know, we're going to do it 90 times on Sunday.
Hey, James, as you've gotten a little older, how do you judge or what do you do to maintain your physical fitness? Because, you know, I always tell people, I remember when I first thing I did when I covered F1 is I got to spend a little bit of time with Jacques Villeneuve and got to see what he did to stay in shape. And I don't think people realize just you do if you see this picture, but just how much wear and tear there is in the body. As you've gotten older, have you had to change how you maintain your physical conditioning? And has it been harder in some ways?
I mean, yes and no. I think for me, one of the big steps, obviously, was coming up to IndyCar from Indy Lights. That required a pretty big adjustment to the training regimen and a sort of shift in philosophy. And then in 2015, when we went to the manufacturer kit, body kit era, the cars had way more downforce. We were cornering way faster, which meant we were experiencing more G-force. We really needed to up our strength training part of the program. Now we're back to a slightly lower downforce car, but there's still a huge emphasis on strength, a huge emphasis on cardiovascular endurance. We incorporate a lot of hand-eye coordination and reaction time drills, cognitive skill drills into our physical training to make sure that the mind is staying sharp as the body starts to fatigue. So there's a lot of different elements that go into it. And I mean, I feel like the older I get, the more I appreciate how important it is and the more I focus and pay attention to it. But, you know, I work with a company in Indianapolis that specializes with racing drivers, and, you know, a good amount of the field actually trains there. Scott Dixon, Alex Rossi, myself, Zach Veach, Tony Kanaan, a couple guys, we all train at the same facility because it's very kind of specific training that we require, not the normal sort of thing that you'd see from an athlete of a, you know, traditional stick and ball sport.
That's pretty fascinating, James. I wonder, the one thing the one element that you didn't mention, but I would imagine must be incorporated, is mental health. And I wonder, are the things that you do in terms of driving, whether it's talking to a sports psychologist, a therapist, is that part of the overall training or wellness of what IndyCar drivers have to go through?
Absolutely. I mean, we play a game of, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of a second. And if your head isn't in the right space, you know, you might be driving a couple tenths of a second slower. And that might not seem like a lot of time, but in a series as competitive as the MTT IndyCar series is at the moment, that could be, you know, career ending. And so a lot of drivers spend time with sports psychologists and mental coaches. And, you know, I have one as well. And it's a big part of the game, not unlike tennis or golf in that sense, you know, making sure that you can be aggressive, be repetitive, be consistent. It's a very big part of the game for sure.
James, we're going to let you run. Really appreciate you doing this. I know your time's at a premium leading up to this race. Thanks so much. Drive safely, and we look forward to seeing you in the podium, my friend. Thanks again.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Sesh.